everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, his smiling face on the other side of the glass, as Ray engineers and produces our show on this Thursday, the 27th of July, 2017. Our home station, KVOI. We live stream our program at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com. Got all the podcasts, about 6.5 years worth of programs, all archived at buckmastershow.com. Our live line number, if you'd like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, 790-2040. Also visit us on Facebook, or easy to find. It's under my name. And trying to do Twitter as much as I do Facebook. I'm more a kind of Facebook guy than I am Twitter, but I'm trying, and that's at Buckmaster Show. Ramon Valadez is with me in studio, Supervisor Ramon Valadez, former Arizona State lawmaker. How are you today, Supervisor?
Very well, Bill. Thank you for the invitation to be here with you today.
Hey, I want to send out kudos to the Pima County Sheriff's Department. I just saw some more video that's been posted on Facebook about that Tank of Verde rescue. And we're going to have Sheriff Napier here on the program tomorrow, and I'm going to also congratulate him and his staff for that. But that's amazing. I mean, they were within, looked like 20 feet of that rotary blade hitting the side of the canyon.
No, absolutely. They've actually showed me video, and I'll tell you what, it's a wash that normally is not terribly wide, and it was a massive wall of water that was passing through, and it's a harrowing experience. They're genuine heroes.
Yeah, please, folks, be careful. Even though there's a chance of rain in the forecast, but it doesn't take long that those waters are going to be raging. So,
right, Bill, and what people need to be aware of, even if it's not raining wherever you're at,
right.
If it's raining upstream, don't go.
Right. Well, again, congratulations, and a lot of people may not realize it, but the Sheriff's Department has a wonderful auxiliary force that helps in cases like that. So everybody really pitched in, didn't they?
Yeah, Sarah needs to be commended as well.
All right, Pima County Board of Supervisors, since we have talked, Supervisor Valadez voted 3-2 to approve a resolution affirming Pima County's commitment to combating climate change. Is this the first time sustainability has been addressed by the Pima County Board of Supervisors?
No. As a matter of fact, the first time we addressed it, we actually had developed a Pima County sustainability plan back when Ray Carroll and Ann Day were still on the board, and back then it was a unanimous vote. The current resolution that I think you're talking about is just a restating of those issues, but most of what was in that resolution we had already planned to be doing, because it's been in our sustainability plan for, at this point, quite a few years.
The no votes were Pima County Supervisors Allie Miller and Steve Christie on that. And speaking of Supervisor Miller, she was responding to something that our friend David Morales posted yesterday about the Paris Climate Accord. And Allie responded on Facebook saying specifically she urged Mr. Morales to read what China and India signed up for. She said it's nothing more than a redistribution of wealth. Allie Miller says, I'm all for protecting the environment, but trade-offs must be evaluated. Pima County Board of Supervisor majority has now signed us up for $6 million on a methane station, $600,000 on electric vehicles, Chevy, what are they?
Bolts.
Bolts. And $4 million on new windows for old buildings. She says she still has a asbestos ceiling. Who knows how much for energy commission, more for solar dollars. Well, we get the picture here. But she concludes by saying, and you wonder where the road money goes. I prefer to focus on what voters elected us to do. What do you say to that?
Well, let me take each part a little individually, because it's a little snippet about each one of them. In terms of the methane station, what that is in the wastewater treatment process at the Ina Road treatment plant, one of the byproducts is methane. Previously, when we used to have a generation station on site, That methane was used to power that generating station. Since then, obviously, we got a deal with TEP, and we've been burning off a lot of that methane, if not all of it. In this case, what this is that we are going to be processing that gas to a commercial grade of a methane gas. It will be piped over to the TEP peak plant over on Irvington, and they will burn it to meet their alternative standards as well under the Arizona Corporation Commission, while also giving the credits to Southwest Gas. So it's a win-win-win for everybody. In terms of the bolts, as we talked about earlier, prior to 2012, we adopted a sustainability plan. And part of that is to have our fleet be on alternate sources of fuel. In this case, because of the advent of the Chevy Bolt, not to be confused with its predecessor, the Chevy Volt, this one actually is an all-electric vehicle that actually can travel 200-plus miles, which makes it finally practicable.
This isn't the Volt.
No, it's a Bolt.
Okay. The next generation, I guess.
It's an all electric, because the Volt was a hybrid. It was an electric with a hybrid backup. A Bolt is an all electric vehicle,
and you can get 200 miles.
Depending on your driving style, you can get over 200 miles.
Hmm.
And that was part of the original sustainability plan all along before this. In terms of the building the windows that she talks about, I don't know where she got the $4 million figure, because I haven't seen the figure quite just yet. What I can tell you is whenever it rains, most of us have water features in our offices. We just put buckets as the water's coming in underneath the windows. And part of the concern there, and it's the governmental complex, it's Superior Court, it's 130 West and the Admin West. What has happened is that we were very concerned that the clips that hold up the sides of the building were going to be rusting through because the water is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
She is absolutely right in terms of the asbestos. Right now, I believe it's the board's floor, the administrator's floor, and I believe the clerk's floor, the three floors that still have asbestos above the ceiling tiles.
That's not good.
So what we're talking about doing is we're having to redo the governmental complex simply mm-hmm. because, and Bill, here's the funny part. I didn't realize until I did the math, they're as old as I am.
Really? And you'll be turning?
50.
Whoa.
So the truth is it's something we're going to have to do.
So the building's not technically crumbling, but it's getting there.
And it's not just our building. It's the three, the complex, the governmental mm-hmm. complex buildings. It's mm-hmm. all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a real risk of a genuine public safety hazard just on having parts of the building come off because of the water seeping in the way that it's been doing for a while now. And it's just been getting worse.
And I think that what Supervisor Miller was concluding there, that you and the other two board members who voted the majority for these sustainability items, that money should be going to roads and not to these items.
Well, as you recall, we did that for 1 or 2 years, and we took general fund monies out of the budget and put it towards road in the tune of about $5 million for one, I don't remember if it was 1 or 2 years. And that doesn't work out as well for my district as well as Supervisor Elias's district, which is 2 and 5, simply because the majority of the population in our districts are in incorporated cities and towns. In my case, it's Tucson, South Tucson, and Sahuarita. About over 85% of my population is in those three incorporated areas. We could only spend those monies in the unincorporated areas. So most of those monies would be going elsewhere. As part of the discussion and direction that we offered during that discussion was that we could only support it if it went to major regional thoroughfares, because I could easily make the discussion the point with my constituents. Look, yes, it didn't come regionally to our area, but you drive on that road.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my colleagues abused that and paved their own front road, and that's when we changed things.
So is my district, and Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller is my representative on the five-member board is my district, District 5, my area of the Fletcher-Caeta area. Am I getting shortchanged at the expense of the other districts?
What we did back then, if you remember, Ray Carroll was on the board at the time, and there was a pressing need at the Vail School District where children were in danger. And so after we tried for about an hour to explain it to one of my colleagues, who happens to be your supervisor, that these monies were supposed to go to regional thoroughfares, and she pretty much said, hey, I can decide whatever I want to decide, and we made a decision then to transfer remaining funds from that location, which was used to pave her front road, to another location in District 4 to take care of that issue with the school buses and the kids.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. The live line is now open. Supervisor Ramon Valadez sticks around for another segment. But first, I want to tell people about my favorite place to go for all things green, and that's Green Things. They're located, really, it's almost like a destination, Ramon, in itself, along the Rito River Walk, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They've done a beautiful job over there, the owners, Jan and Jack. They started off with 4 acres, have expanded it to 13 acres. Now it's just packed with every imaginable plant folks could want. Now that the rains have come, it's time to start thinking about autumn planting. So check out Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. The address, 3384 East River Road. We'll be right back.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier. The Friday Roundtable features Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great area of the southwestern United States. It's a good weekend getaway. Certainly the rains have come and greened up the Gila National Forest. Just 3 hours from Tucson. It's a lovely environment over there. Some great restaurants, too, in historic Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We have a county supervisor with us, not Grant County, but Pima County, and he is Ramon Valadez, Pima County supervisor. Now, what's the latest on this Transportation Advisory Committee? They're going to have their, what, their first meeting coming up?
Next Tuesday, August 1st, over at the Herb Abrams Public Health Center at 2 o'clock. It's scheduled from 2 to 6. But I'm glad you brought that up. It's actually a much bigger discussion. If you remember when I've been on the show in the past, and I think when you've talked to some of my colleagues, one of the biggest issues that we have as a community is transportation and roads. And even the HERF monies that we get generally goes to major arterials or major thoroughfares because, frankly, we have such a scarce amount of resources that we haven't been able to get beyond that. We've asked the federal government for help. We asked the state government for help for the last 10 years and haven't been able to get anything. To their credit, this year, the GOP chairs of both transportation committees in the state House and in the state Senate were able to get a bill out of their committee to try and address the issue, but it later died later on in the process. So clearly, there's no help coming. We had to do something. And we had a couple of different choices. And obviously, we could do a 25-cent road property tax that can only go to roads, which is where the Transportation Advisory Committee comes in, or a sales tax that requires a unanimous vote of the board. And where we chose to go is the property taxes for this year, and we created a Citizens Advisory Committee that is going to go out to the community for the next 10 to 12 months and really come back to the board with what the community wants to do in terms of the idea of doing a sales tax to replace this road property tax. Obviously, the sales tax, the disadvantage of that is that it can be regressive. The advantage to that is the people who don't live in Pima County are paying part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to their credit, it was a unanimous vote, to my colleague's credit, to move forward with that Citizens Advisory Committee and to study that and to have that come back with recommendations to the board for the next year's process. What we did as a 3-2 vote was this year was we're doing a 25 cents property tax. And this Transportation Advisory Committee that will be meeting for the first time next Tuesday at 2 over at the Abrams Health Center is going to be deciding how that's going to be coming about. And here's the really great thing. We haven't had money to spend for neighborhood roads in decades. This money is for neighborhood roads. It's for your road and it's for my road. They're for neighborhood roads divided amongst the jurisdictions as well. So it's not just unincorporated areas as well.
So the advisory board will decide which roads get attention?
They'll get to decide
or make recommendations for
what
that?
The process is, how we're going to get there. And then obviously the final decision will always be the board's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously from the fact that it's an advisory committee, you can tell that.
I mean,
but obviously they will be advising us. And the way the advisory committee is made up is that we asked the administrator to come up with three subject matter experts so that we didn't have to worry about subject matter experts. So he's appointed three subject matter experts, and each of us appointed two members of the committee apiece. And so it's a 13-member committee.
Okay, so three of the 13 are your advisory road experts.
Yes. Yeah.
And the others are just concerned citizens.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Concerned citizens and stakeholders as well.
And they will then make a recommendation over what period of time?
Well, it will be a total of we estimate $19.6 million that will become available for neighborhood roads, and they're to recommend to us the process of how we distribute those monies, understanding based on what we've put out prior to the adoption of the final adjustment of the budget, that it's got to go to our jurisdictions and as well as to unincorporated areas. So it is a truly regional benefit.
When could this money start to be used then?
Well, I think as soon as we do the final adoption of the process, that will probably come about as soon as they've met a few times and have recommendations for us.
So if you look at the big picture, then you've got road work going on. Certainly the city has made really, I think, just huge advancements in the way the city roads are doing. Big improvement there because they've had money to do it. I mean, this is kind of... It's not as much as the city, but it's kind of the county's answer to moving forward in this direction.
And the intent of this is obviously I just talked about it. Yeah. The city of Tucson will also get a share of it. It'll be managed by the county as well. But it's meant to work in tandem with what the city's already doing, to augment what they're doing to benefit our region and our citizens.
The board, I think you're only meeting, what, once a month in the summer? Twice a month.
Yeah, it's generally once a month, but it usually works out to twice a month.
Okay. you had talked at the last meeting about a ban on, I guess you'd call them like exploding targets after the recent sawmill fire. Is that being studied right now?
What we did last board meeting is that we didn't meet the advertising deadline for the ordinance, and it is on the agenda for Tuesday, but I've asked for a 30-day continuance because we're still meeting with different stakeholders to make sure that it addresses some of the issues that we needed to address with the intent of minimizing unintended consequences. Obviously, we've all heard about the sawmill fire. The Molino Basin fire is also suspected to have been caused by an exploding target. And what we're trying to do is, look, if you're going to shoot at an exploding target, you're going to have to do it in a place where it's not going to set a fire, mm-hmm. where it's safe to do so, or frankly, not in Pima County. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to do it in Pima County and you're going to start a fire, you're going to pay for that fire. Mm-hmm. Or frankly, we're going to have to ban the substance. So we're trying to explore different alternatives to make sure that we don't see a duplication of the sawmill fire. Because there's, frankly, we live in a desert. Mm-hmm. And during different parts of the year, we have fire conditions that exist. And in a time and a place where every federal and state agency has got a fire ban, why does somebody go out and shoot an explosive target?
What will the so this will be I guess a misdemeanor? Is that what you're looking at right now with this?
It is going to be a misdemeanor. The real hook in the whole thing is mm-hmm. that you become financially liable.
Ooh.
For fighting that fire.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've got about 2 minutes to go. Other items still. Overall, you would say the county's financial picture is pretty sound right now, or what?
I would. I will also tell you a couple other issues that are important.
Please do.
If you take a look at UMC South, they are doing the best financially that they have done in the last 10 to 15 years. They used to have a percentage, about 15% of the patients that came in, they were their own payer. Because of the ACA, that 15% that didn't have coverage, which in a lot of cases meant they probably weren't going to get the hospitals and get paid, is now down to 2%.
Wow.
So they are in the best financial position they've ever been, and obviously their clinics and their spaces are growing. They're providing more service. They're helping more people. They're doing what that hospital is intended to do. Additionally, we are starting work on developing the soccer park just south of Keno, or south of the I-10 from the existing Keno Sports Park. Where we're talking about the, when we're done, having the largest tournament site in Arizona. And what makes this unique and different than some of the other ones, even in Phoenix, is that this one will have the amenities. It'll have the restrooms. It'll have the snack bars and everything else. That so it will be an actual facility as opposed to just fields.
Wow. And that's, you know, let's face it, soccer's a big deal.
And that will happen without raising anybody's tax.
And that happens when?
We're working on it right now. Obviously, the Keno Stadium is actually, as of the end of this calendar year, will be paid off.
Okay. All right. Supervisor Ramon Valadez, thank you very much. And hope your summer is going well. And we'll see you soon. Thanks.
Look forward to it, Bill. Thank you for the invitation.
All right, 12:30 now on The Buckmaster Show. Let's take our break right here. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition 12, coming up on 12:35. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show, Kristen Auerbach. Kristen is the recently hired Pima Animal Care Center Director. Kristen, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Are you settling in?
Yes, I am. I'm settled into Tucson, moved into my house, and started working a couple weeks ago.
You come to the Tucson facility, the Pima Animal Care Center, from Austin. We were with the Austin Animal Center in the Texas Capitol. Some of your impressions, I know there's a new building coming for PACC, which is very exciting, but what are some of your impressions of what you are dealing with and what you're overseeing?
Well, I was lucky enough to spend 2 years in Austin, Texas, which is really the premier no-kill city in America. We, in the last year, saved about 98% of the 20,000 animals entering the shelter, which is a sort of blowing the rest of the nation out of the water in terms of life-saving. And so one of the interesting differences here is that here in Pima County, we are on the precipice of becoming a national model in life-saving animal welfare. And in my time in Austin, we had already had 5 years in. Mm-hmm. And so what I get to bring to the table here, and why this is such an exciting opportunity, is that I get to bring those lessons learned over our first 5 years to Tucson, to Pima Animal Care Center, to make this truly a national model. And it's Pima Animal Care Center is already leading the nation in life saving. It's already a model in many ways, and we're just going to grow those programs and make it even bigger and better.
Save rate is kind of, I guess you can work with those numbers in several ways. How do you kind of define what Pima Animal Care Center's save rate is? What is it indeed?
So you can calculate save rate in a couple of different ways. One of the services we offer here is owner-requested euthanasia, and this is for owners who at the end of life of their animal, they mm-hmm. bring it in and they can't afford, you know, euthanasia services can cost up to $400. So this is truly a public service we offer. In some data calculations, they back that number out. Mm-hmm. And in some, they don't. So depending on whether you include that into our number, Pima County's somewhere between about 84 and 90% save rate. Mm-hmm. And our goal really, my goal for this community and this organization really isn't based on a number. Mm-hmm. It's based more in this idea and ethic that we save as many lives as we can. And by building the programs that we know work, that we can save virtually every treatable and rehabilitatable animal in Tucson and Pima County.
It's been a huge success story so far. Prior to your arrival years ago, not that many years ago, the save rate really was not very good here in Pima County. But people have really rallied around this particular facility, as evidenced by the fact that people voted for what's going to be just a beautiful state-of-the-art facility. You have a great group of volunteers who believe in what you're doing and help out by walking animals. Facebook's become a huge presence. We're trying to get some of these older animals who've been in at Pima Animal Care for a while, getting them adopted, and it really does help, that exposure.
It's this community is really one of a kind, and I have been struck by how welcoming everyone is and how excited they are. This is
people really care in this community about animal welfare issues.
They really do, and they really understand them. They know that we have animals with special medical needs that require extra support and care more than above and beyond what we are able to provide. And they know that the animals aren't going to get out of their kennels every day unless those volunteers show up. And the volunteers here are tireless. They are in that shelter every morning at 6 a.m., and we're having to kick them out the door at night when we have to close down. They're really at the heart of why this is so successful. So the volunteers and fosters here are just tremendous effort they're making.
What is the update on the new facility?
Well, my first week on the ground was spent kind of getting a handle on the construction project. We're more than halfway through phase one, and phase one's a biggie. That's all of our medical areas. It's our adoption lobby. It's our pet support center and our intake functions. So all of that is slated to be done December 26th. That's our move-in date. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have an exciting Christmas this year.
Yeah.
It's going to be our giant Christmas present. And everything's going along. The walls are up. And we're starting to, you can sort of see the what the building is going to look like. And it truly is state of the art. There's rooms for, there's something called real life rooms, which in shelters are the scariest places in the world for animals. And in the real life rooms, a dog or a cat can go into the room and there's a couch in it and there's furniture and a TV. Aww. And they can just rest. One thing most people don't know about animal shelters is that animals are exhausted.
Yes.
Imagine hearing all that barking. You would be too. And just having spaces like that for them to get away from the hustle bustle is really going to be life-saving for a lot of our pets.
Well, you can just see it in the animals' eyes, just a kind of a constant sort of fear and stress level by being in the shelter. So, yes. I mean, this is going to lessen that, certainly, the new facility. The overall, you said phase one, there are how many then phases?
There's two phases. We're in about a year from now, we'll be completely done with the project.
Okay.
Phase one concludes at the end of December, so we'll start the new year with most of the animals being in the new facility. And that's going to be a challenging time, the hardest time for us, and when we're going to really need the community support is from January 1st to the end of July, because we're going to have more limited housing. We're going to need our fosters and rescue partners more than ever, because our space is going to be pretty tight during that time.
And you're going to need the friends of Pima Animal Care Center more than ever, people that, like myself, who have contributed money to the organization, that believe in it. And I think that these are people that have a vision that this can be truly one of the finest animal care centers in the United States.
Indeed, it already is well on its way. Jose Ocano, the previous director, you know, he has an amazing story, and he's a big part of why I came to this community, because he tells the story of going from 50% when he was an animal caretaker to bringing the shelter this high save rate. And now what we get to do is refine. We get to build more sophisticated programs. We get to send, our goal is to send thousands of animals to foster homes every year, to have fewer animals in the shelter and to help provide better resources to the community. So now the fun part starts. Moving into the new building is a key part of having that happen.
We're speaking with Kristen Auerbach. Kristen is the newly hired Pima Animal Care Center director. She comes from Austin, Texas. Prior to that, she was involved with the Fairfax County Animal Shelter in Fairfax, Virginia. You have inherited a great staff. I know many of the people personally over at PACC. They're very dedicated people. And Dr. Jennifer Wilcox is just like a miracle worker that you have over there. She's terrific.
She is. If you walk in our medical suite, we're part of the reason we're so grateful that the bond passed and we're getting this facility is because our medical areas truly are not, they were designed for a time long ago that most of us don't even remember, when animals were brought in and they were either moved out in 3 days or they were euthanized. Mm-hmm. And the facility was not set up for sophisticated medical treatment. And despite that, Dr. Wilcox and her team have done everything they can to save any animal with medical needs that they can. So when you walk in, you'll see a cage of puppies that came in with some skin problem, and then you'll see a dog that's just been that's being monitored in a pen on the floor, and you'll see some cats. And what we're going to be able to do with the new facility is have them in truly, truly state-of-the-art housing that was designed by a school of shelter medicine.
Well, my two-year anniversary for the two cats that we adopted from a FEMA Animal Care Center, they came from a feral mother, so they were kind of very shy when we adopted them, and they had health needs, and I call them really special needs. They have been, and the miracle is that these two cats now have become wonderful companions. They really have. So it's quite a success story at our house anyway. At first, they wouldn't allow anyone, and no one could come near them. They hid all the time. They're out and about now.
Oh, they are?
Yes, they are. So that's the happy story at the Buckmaster household.
And, and you're probably really happy they're in your life, too.
I'm very happy that they're in. How about your own animals?
I have several dogs, and I'll tell you, I think every day how I enrich their lives, I'm sure, but they really make my life, and they make it worth living. And I think for so many of us, our animals are, even those with special medical needs, special behavioral needs, their lives worth living. And that's really what Pima County believes, is that we should do everything we can, because we're not perfect, and neither are our pets, but
that's for sure.
We can save the vast majority of them, and they're such wonderful companions and really such central parts of our lives.
Kristen Auerbach, congratulations on your new position. We'll talk to you down the road, and do appreciate the time. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much.
All right. 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about the Empire Ranch Foundation. Their big fundraiser is coming up. Buckmaster on a Thursday. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Hi, this is Jeff with Enhanced Openings, Windows, Doors, and More. Did you know windows, doors, and skylights are about 30% of all the wall and ceiling areas of your home, but waste up to 80% of all your home's utility bills? Enhanced Openings is Tucson's Pella Select wholesale installation company. We'll save you money on Pella products and on installation.
Text the word Pella to 313131 and get free installation. Or call 686-5617, ROC CR 603-05859, EnhancedOpenings.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show at about 10 minutes to 1 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon on KVOI, AM 1030. And of course, we've got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Let's go now on the live line to the grandson of a very famous cowboy and actor, Joel McRae. We have Wyatt McRae with us on the live line. Wyatt, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing real well. I'm excited about the Empire Ranch Foundation's summer movie that is coming up, and this is a fundraiser. That's going to be a upcoming Wednesday, August 2nd, at the Loft Theater on Speedway, and the film will be Ride the High Country, and of course that will be starring Joel McRae, your grandpa. What do you remember about Joel McRae, Wyatt?
Well, you know, Bill, I was lucky. I got to know my grandfather very, very well. I was about 30 when he passed away, and spent the last several years of his life with him, living on the ranch that was his home ranch, and I continue to live there now. So I got to hear a lot of his stories firsthand, you know, and it was a lot of fun just to be with him and to hear his tales of old Hollywood and his career, and of course, you know, he loved being a rancher, and my dad grew up running a couple of the ranches that my grandfather had later in life, and so I was around my grandfather quite a bit. I feel very blessed and very fortunate to have been able to spend some quality time with him.
The Ride the High Country was one of 90 movies, I believe, that Joel McRae did, correct?
That's right, and it was the last big picture that he did, the last big budget picture. He did a few smaller films after that, but Ride the High Country was kind of the swan song as far as, you know, capping off a long career that started in the late 20s, and then, like I said, he did a few small films in the 70s, but Ride the High Country was kind of the crowning jewel of the whole shebang as far as his career was concerned, I think.
So did he start, you said, in the 20s, he was at that transition period from the silent to the talkies then, right?
That's correct, and that actually worked quite to his advantage, because he had, and a lot of people don't remember this, but he did a lot of radio early in his career, but he had a great voice, and a lot of the big stars, the big silent stars, were not able to make that transition, because once you heard them on the microphone, yep, their voices sounded totally different than they looked, you know, and he actually had a great voice for it, and actually worked very well to his advantage, and he was young at that time and just coming up, so it was a good opportunity for him, and he fit right in at that point, so it worked out really well.
How did the family wind up in Hollywood and California?
Well, you know, I'm a fifth generation Californian, to be honest with you, Bill, and my grandfather's grandparents came here in the mid 1800s. They came here as a part of the gold rush, and his his mother's family settled in San Francisco, and his maternal grandfather came west with the cavalry and actually escorted the stage between San Bernardino and Los Angeles in those days when there were still Indians to worry about.
Wow.
The family came out very, very early on, and my grandfather was actually born in South Pasadena and lived there till he was about 9. And then they physically picked up the home and moved it to Hollywood Boulevard. And he was raised at 7755 Hollywood Boulevard, which is a big commercial building now. But in those days, that was where Hollywood Boulevard ended, you know. And I tell people, I don't think he had any choice but to become an actor, because he kind of grew up right in the middle of Hollywood and grew up with the industry, you know. And as a boy, he had a paper route. Delivered the newspaper to William S. Hart and Tom Mix and Cecil B. DeMille and some of those early Hollywood folks. He was a part of his life from the time he was about 9 years old.
So the original, the old farm, I think, as you call it, was 2,400 acres, and there's about 280 left. The rest was donated to the California Park Service, is that correct?
Well, not to the California Park Service, but to our local park district.
Okay.
The Conejo Recreation and Park District, which oversees the parks in the Thousand Oaks and Westlake and Newbury Park areas of Ventura County in Southern California.
Okay.
And that was a relationship that we had that went back when my grandfather was still living. He had donated some property to Conejo Rec and Park District as to be set aside as a wildlife preserve. And so later on, about 20 years after that, when we were looking to, kind of do some estate planning and that sort of thing, it was very important to my grandmother that the buildings be preserved, everything they had built up. And we actually have one building that was there when he bought the place that dates back to 1890. And so we wanted to kind of preserve that history, that California history and Southern California ranching lifestyle. And so so it made perfect sense for us to contact Conejo Rec and Park District and put the donation together. So now the buildings are all listed on the National Register of Historic Places, and it's a great place for people to come and see a little bit of old California.
And I think it makes perfect sense that your family is aligned with the Empire Ranch Foundation here in Southern Arizona, preserving kind of our early ranching days in Southern Arizona.
Oh, definitely. And I'm very excited to be a part of the fundraiser next week. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I really applaud what the Empire Ranch Foundation is trying to do there to preserve, you know, that ranch goes way back. And I think they're to be commended for what they're trying to do. It's not an easy effort to preserve history, but I think it's a worthwhile cause and something that people need to support.
Wyatt, can you tell us a bit more about Ride the High Country? And do you remember your grandpa telling you about this particular movie?
Well, this is a great film, and of course he and Randolph Scott had known each other since they both started way back in the late 20s, but had never worked together. You know, in those days, two leading men didn't necessarily work together, and this was kind of one of the few examples of two guys that had fantastic leading man careers that ended up kind of having an equal billing in a film, and it's a great pairing. He and Randolph Scott together, it's just fantastic the way they come off on screen. And, of course, this was one of Sam Peckinpah's very first films. He had done some television, and Peckinpah is most remembered for The Wild Bunch and some of those later films he did. But this was an early example of what a great director he was. One of the interesting parts about Ride the High Country, for those people that have seen it, my grandfather and Randolph Scott were actually cast in the opposite roles.
Huh.
And independently of one another, they went to the producer and said, you know, I really would love to do this, but I can't do it in this role, you know. And so they ended up switching roles, and I don't think it would have worked any other way. It worked out perfectly. So, yeah, it's a great film. I think people will really, really enjoy it. And, of course, Marriott Hartley, who went on to do a lot of things in television later on and film, but this was her very first role, and she does a fantastic job in this movie. So yeah, it's a fun movie, and I think people will really enjoy it. It's still considered one of the top 10 classic westerns ever made. So.
What were some of the other westerns that your dad starred in that you really like?
Well, you know, one of my favorites is Buffalo Bill. Growing up, I had seen the film as a young boy, and growing up, I always thought he was Buffalo Bill. You know,
sure, of course.
You know, he always had that look about him, you know. But Buffalo Bill is a good one. And, it, you know, a lot of people don't remember that my grandfather, the first half of his career was a lot of comedy and drama. It wasn't until he got to a point where he could kind of dictate what he wanted to do that he started making Westerns. And, of course, he was great in Westerns and is remembered for that. But some of his earlier films, you know, The More the Merrier, Palm Beach Story, Foreign Correspondent, which was a Hitchcock film.
I love that. I love that movie, yeah, Foreign Correspondent.
Those are some of the classics, you know, and some of my favorites that he did.
I'm glad you brought that up about that he also, you know, was, of course, we remember him for being a Western actor, but he did some great drama roles as well. Right. Wyatt, I'm going to have to let you go because I want to tell people about the event coming up on August 2nd. Thank you very much, Wyatt McCrae.
It's been a pleasure to join you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Wyatt McCrae talking about the Empire Ranch fundraiser, the summer movie fundraiser, Ride the High Country, starring Joel McCrae at the Loft on Speedway August 2nd. That's next Wednesday. Doors open at 6 o'clock. There'll be a Q&A with Wyatt, and then the movie will begin. So it's going to be for a very good cause for the Empire Ranch. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw has Mike Check, his hour from 4 to 5, and then Ray Allen, you'll be with Mike this afternoon. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow, 6 to 9, me, Bill Buckmaster, with the Sheriff. Lots to talk about with Sheriff Napier tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview. Until then, on behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great afternoon and evening.